Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've got an important show for you today, especially if you feel stuck or you feel like the enemy continues to kind of, like the foxes, nip at the vine. Well, my guest today, Carlos Whitaker, he's been on a handful of times. We just love him. We're talking about one of his older books because I couldn't believe I missed this one when we had him on for one of his more recent books. It's called Kill the Spider, Getting Rid of What's Holding You Back. And he says, as you replace false beliefs with God's life-giving truth, you'll discover a freedom like you've never known before. So get ready to slay every spider in your life. The fight will be fierce, but know that God is on your side and you will emerge victorious and free. If you're ready to be done with the spiders and the lies and the webs the enemy spins in your life to make life just kind of come down to a stall where you don't feel like you're making forward moving progress, you're not living in freedom, today is the day. I'm glad you're listening. We've got 6 copies to give away of Carlos's book, Kill the Spider, Getting Rid of What's Really Holding You Back. And Carlo writes like he speaks. I'm telling you, Carlos's book is just honest, and it's actually funny at times, and he really invites you into raw, authentic honesty before the Lord. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. He's dealt with anxiety, panic attacks. We'll get into that in a little bit later. Maybe you relate to that. I think you'll find the book helpful. Again, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. Okay, if you've been listening long enough, you know we have a fundraiser in the fall and in the spring, and then just a couple days at the end of the year. But we are listener supported. We don't have commercials. And so we really wouldn't want to be able to, we wouldn't want to do this journey without you. We're in this together. Next week is our fall fundraiser. And I love our fundraisers because it's a time to cast vision for where we sense God is taking us. It's to remember and recall His faithfulness and His goodness. And just because I'm a little tiny bit competitive, former athlete and all that, I love it when we get matched challenge money because so somebody will lay down the gauntlet to say, we're given a $5,000 gift, but you have to match it within this hour for all that money to be released. In fact, I love matched challenges so much. I may or may not have last fundraiser made up an imaginary friend, but I admitted he was imaginary. And I said, I have an imaginary friend and I think he wants to get. Anyway, and somebody did come forward to be my imaginary friend. All that to say, we've got some match challenge money coming in, but if you feel like you want to lay down the gauntlet and issue a challenge, maybe you're single and you want to challenge other singles, or you're married, you want to lay down in the honor of marriages, whatever it is, you can text us or email me and I'll get you in touch with Carter Reblow. You can email me Suzy. Oh no, I just got Carter's email. Carter, thank you, Angie. Carter@myfaithradio.com. Carter@myfaithradio.com. How fun would that be if you laid the gauntlet down? All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Carlos Whitaker is an author, speaker, worship leader, and self-professed hope dealer. I love that. He speaks at some of the largest churches in the country and at conferences, including Orange, Catalyst, and others. A People's Choice Award winner, host of popular podcasts. He's also the author of The Moment Maker, Kill the Spider, and others. He lives with his wife, Heather, and their 3 children in Nashville. Carlos, it's been too long. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Susie, so glad to be here.
Looking forward to our conversation. And you've been on enough to know we love to start every day just making it personal. And I'm just wondering what the Lord's been talking to you about these days.
Goodness gracious. So much these days. So much these days. I've actually been on a social media fast for about 6 weeks. Awesome. So I just haven't been on my phone, and the Lord's voice has just been booming the entire time. And the thing that He's been teaching me these last few weeks has really been from the first chapter of James in the New Testament, where in James chapter 1, verse 2, you know, I've read this verse before. It says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Now, what I've been learning is about the word great. You know, I think that the author could have said, "Consider it a joy, my brothers." But there's a reason he put great in there. And I have been trying with whatever trial I go through to just ask the Lord, "Lord, I don't want this to just be a joy I want it to be a great joy. What is great about the suffering, about the trial, about the endurance that I am being led through right now? What makes it great? And so, you know, Susie, it's just for me, adding that word great in front of joy when it comes to looking at my trials just kind of doubles up on what exactly God is expecting from us in these situations.
Man, this is why I asked that question. That is so fantastic. Somebody needed to hear that today. If you needed to hear that today from Carlos, you got to text me an amen. That's just awesome. Well, talk to us about when the idea of killing spiders became a thing for you.
Oh, my goodness. So I had gone through the darkest season of my life, and this was probably 2009 to 2011. You know, Susie, I was, everything seemed to be going great in this season. And I was, you know, I'd released like a worship record that had gone number one. I was touring with Hillsong United and the Newsboys and Jeremy Camp. And all of these things were just going great in my life. And I began to, when things are going good in your life, isn't that just when the enemy wants to come in and start whispering lies to you? And so he began to whisper these lies to me that, hey, listen, you can have your cake and eat it too. You can actually enjoy the light and enjoy a little bit of the darkness as well. And, you know, without diving too deep into the details, I began to have 1 foot in light and 1 foot in dark. And before I knew it, my life had completely fallen apart. All of the things that I'd been trying, all of the sinful behaviors, all of the sinful patterns that were really holding me back from my full potential in Christ, all of those things began to take root and take hold of my life. And before I knew it, I'd lost everything. I'd lost my career. I'd actually lost my family. We can get into that later if you'd like. I'd lost my my friendships, my relationships. I'd lost everything. And and it was the darkest season I've ever been in. And I remember, Susie, like shaking my fist at God because I was so angry that he would let me do something like this. And, you know, a lot of people would hear someone say that they were angry at God because of something that they had done and probably think to themselves, well, why are you angry at God? You're the one that did it. But to be honest, if all of us and all your listeners that are listening right now can think back to moments in their lives where you've made a wrong decision, it's not like you wanted, it's not like there was something inside of you that just desired to ruin your life, that just desired to, and you know, I was doing everything I could think of to do. I was reading all the books, I was praying all the prayers, I was listening to all the sermons, I was going to all the worship nights, I was doing everything I could do in my own power to stop doing the thing that was wrecking my life, but I just never found enough strength. And so after I had I'd made the decision and I'd you know, lost everything, I was living with another family. My best friend Blake Bergstrom and his family invited me into their home when I'd moved out of mine. And, you know, it had been weeks and I got a text message from a friend named Mike Foster. And that text message was one scripture. And the scripture was 1 Peter 5:10. And it said this: may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. Now, here's the thing. That was the great scripture, right? Like I thought, what a great scripture. If it didn't have the end, I wish there was a period after God would restore, establish, strengthen, and support you. But of course, there's more to it. It says after you have suffered a little. And I was in a season of suffering that did not feel like a little. It felt like a lot. And quickly, to fast forward, I did made a decision in that moment that I was going to stop chasing after trying to fix my marriage and fix my relationships. And instead, I was just going to fix my eyes on Jesus. And it's amazing what happens when you do that, when you stop facing your circumstances, when you stop gazing at the situations in your life and you start gazing at God and glancing at life. Wow. At that point, things begin to shift. And at that point, my wife began to take notice of things in my life that she was seeing from a far distance because I wasn't living at home. She was just hearing from friends. And she texted me one day, Susie, and said, hey, and this was probably 5 months after our separation. And she said, can we have coffee? And I was like, it was the first time I heard from her. And I was like, absolutely. And so we meet at a coffee shop and she said, is what I hear about you true? And I said, listen, I'm not going to tell you one way or the other because I don't feel like I deserve you listening to my words, but you can watch my actions. And she began to watch from a distance, and she begins to watch from a closer distance, and then a closer distance. And I can tell you that 9 months after the trauma had happened in our marriage, the God of all grace, who called me to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, personally restored, established, strengthened, and supported my marriage, and my family, and my marriage, and my career, and my relationships came back together. And through that began a journey of trying to figure out what exactly it was that was leading me astray. And I knew I didn't want to do it again. And so how is it that I could find the reason why I was making these mistakes? And we can get into that after the break, or we can get into that now if you'd like. But it was a story that my dad told me that changed everything for me.
You're so good, because you know we're coming on a break. You're a talk show host dream, let me just tell you that. So when we come back, I want you to talk about that, because actually tomorrow, for those who are listening in real time here, I'm going to be doing a live stream. I'm doing them every week as we go through Strong in Battle. But tomorrow I'm going to talk about self-deception and how we don't know what we don't know. We don't see what we can't see. We've got to dare to pray the bold prayer, God, show me what I can't see, because the enemy sees it. And those are openings for sure. Talking to Carlos Whitaker, his book, Kill the Spider, Getting Rid of What's Really Holding You Back. I can't wait to hear what he has to say next. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. So do you listen to Suzy Larson Live often? I sure hope you do. And if you do, I could use your help. Consider becoming a Faith Radio ambassador today and get the word out, not only about my show, but all the other great shows that we air on Faith Radio. You'll get everything you need to share the good news. You can sign up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name. The Lord. He is. He's faithful yesterday, now, and always. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to our friend Carlos Whitaker. He's an author, speaker, and a worship leader, musician. And his book, this is one of his older books, but we wanted to dig into it because, especially now, kind of post-pandemic, if you want to call it that, but in the last 2 years, there's been so much, just an arise of anxiety, panic attacks, and even indulgences to numb our pain. So he's the perfect guy to talk to about this and his story, really. He's just so honest with his redemptive story. His book, Kill the Spider. We're going to talk about how you do that, getting rid of what's really holding you back. So, Carlos, you were saying before you were kind of on top of the world ministry-wise, traveling with Hillsong and other notable artists, writing, really enjoying a great ministry life. And you said there was just sort of a temptation to kind of have one foot in the light and one foot in the dark, and that kind of was a downfall, and things crumbled beneath you. And for a while, you're separated from your wife and from your family, lost friends and ministry opportunities. And then the Lord started to woo you, and you just started to look solely at Him. And things started to change, but you're like, I don't want to go back here again. I don't want to make any mistakes like this again. And so you're about to tell us what you learned, and I'd love you to say more.
Absolutely. So here I find myself in a situation where my marriage is being restored. I am doing the work. Rolling up my sleeves and digging in. And you know, the Lord just kept telling me, Carlos, like, your freedom is not going to be found in striving. Your freedom is going to be found in surrendering. He just kept saying that over and over. Stop striving. Start surrendering. Stop striving. Start surrendering. And so surrendering for all of us is going to look different, you know, for everybody. And I'm a big believer in inner healing. I'm a big believer in therapy, in allowing somebody else that can hear from the Lord to step in. And so, you know, I began going to counseling. I began to invite somebody else into my healing journey. And, you know, after I'd been in therapy for, honestly, this is probably now 2 years post reconciliation with my family, and things are good. And, you know, my marriage is good, and my ministry is starting to just feel like it's clicking. I remember looking at my therapist, Al, and I just, if you're a listener, I just need you to think of the one person named Al that you know, and that's exactly what my therapist looks like. Okay, so we got it in our heads. So I'm looking at Al, right? So we all have a picture of him. And I said, Al, listen, I have been coming to you for 2 years, and I feel like things are really good. And he's like, yeah, Carlos, you're like 90%, 95% there. But if you don't figure out why it is you did what you did, you're going to do it again. And this is what he said to me. This is what my Christian therapist said to me. Okay. So take no offense, because this was a Christian therapist that said this to me. He looked at me and said, if you don't figure out why you keep rubbing crap on your blessings, you will do it again. And I remember my jaw dropping and thinking, oh my goodness, that's what I do. I started to look at the timeline of my life and I realized every time God blessed me with something, I didn't feel like I deserved it, and I would smear it and I would mess it up. And so I walked out of his office thinking, I have to figure out why. So I did the one thing I needed to do, and I called my dad. My dad is a wise, wise man. He was a first generation immigrant to the United States from Colón, Panama, when he was 18 years old. He shined shoes at LAX for a few years until he saved enough money for community college. Now he's Dr. Fermín Whitaker, right? So he's like the wisest, hardworking man, the American dream. And so I knew if anybody could help me, it would be my dad. So I called my dad and I said, Dad, Al just told me that if I don't figure out why I rub crap on my blessings, I'm going to mess up my life again. I need you to tell me why. And I'll never forget, Susie. He says over the phone, he goes, oh, Carlitos, I know why you rub crap on your blessings. I started laughing.
Love him.
I was like, you do? I was like, well, Dad, why did you wait 39 years to tell me? Mm-hmm. And he goes, let me tell you a story. And I was like, oh, Dad, I don't have time for a story. He's like, no, listen. Because when my dad says, let me tell you a story, it's going to be a long story. So I kind of buckled up and he said, listen, when I was in Panama preaching my very first revival, I gave the invitation and nobody came to the front to accept Jesus. But one very old lady in the back of the church, she began to walk towards the very front. And when she come to the front of the church, she says, Pastor, can you please pray that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? And I remember my dad said, I looked at her and I said, okay. So I prayed, Lord, clean the cobwebs from Ms. Ramirez's life. He says, Carlitos, night numero dos, the second night of the revival, Ms. Ramirez comes to the front of the church again. She makes her way to the front, walking very slowly, and she's still crying. And she says, Pastor, can you pray again that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? And I told her, I prayed that last night. She said, no. Can you pray one more time? Pray harder. So my dad said he sprinkled a little salt and pepper on his prayer. He said, Lord, we pray that you clean the cobwebs from Ms. Ramirez's life. He says, Carlitos, night numero tres, the third night of the revival, Ms. Ramirez comes to the front again, and she is still crying. And she says, Pastor, can you please pray that God would clean the cobwebs from my life? And my dad said, we prayed that last night. We've been praying the wrong prayer. Tonight, we are not going to pray that he cleans the cobwebs. But tonight we shall pray that he kills the spider. And he says, Carlitos, I have watched you your entire life. He said, you are a professional cobweb cleaner. You are so good, but you cannot continue to go to Al, your therapist's office, and clean the cobwebs of sin. You must find the root and kill the spider. And I tell you, friend, when he said that, my jaw dropped again. And I knew that he didn't even have to say anything else. I knew the problem. The problem was that I was looking at fixing my behaviors instead of cleaning the cobwebs, instead of finding the root of what my behavior was, which was the spider, which was the agreement with the lie that I believed, and kill the spider. So I ended up going to Al's office a few more times, and I identified my spider. I located my spider. I cornered my spider, and I killed my spider. And, you know, from there, I give a definition for your listeners in my book, Kill the Spider. I say that a spider is an agreement that you've made with a lie. We all have them. We all have, you know, the spiders develop every single day in our lives. We have agreements with lies. But a cobweb is a medicating behavior that brings comfort to the lie. So there's the ticket. See, that's where most of us spend all of our time, is we clean the cobwebs. So what are cobwebs, right? Like alcohol, pornography, gossip, workaholism, all of these things that keep us away from our full potential in Christ. Those actually aren't the problems. Those are a piece of the problem, but those are just cobwebs. They're medicating behaviors. What we've got to do is find the spider, which is the agreement with a lie that you believe that you are using those behaviors to medicate. So when we shift our eyes off of all of the sinful behavior and towards the agreement with the lie and ask Holy Spirit to give that clarity in our lives, we break that agreement, the behaviors go away. And that's really what the book is about, and it helps people get there.
So powerful. And I can't help but love the fact that you had a counselor named Owl, and I love your dad without even meeting him. Yeah. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, just what a treasure that you can go to him and get such wisdom. And for him to tell you, actually, Carlos, you do have time for a story. Now sit. Yeah. Listen to what your father has
to say.
Sit
down, son. Yes.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Are you able to articulate that spider? I mean, and you know, you've been so honest, you don't have to share if you don't want, but it's like, how did God bring revelation around that?
Yeah. You know, so for me, I think it's easy to identify our cobwebs, right? Like, if you don't know what your cobweb is, just ask your family, right? Remember, your cobweb is a medicating behavior. They know, right? So whatever that is, everybody that is close to you is going to know what it is that you medicate with. That's easy. The cobwebs are easy to find. The spider is a lot more difficult to find, because now what you're having to do is you're having to dig back, which is why therapy is so important. Dig back into your history, because a lot of behaviors we have in our adult life manifested from lies we believed when we were 5, 6, and 7 years old. And so what we have to do is go back and ask Holy Spirit, will you please bring a fresh revelation as to what the lie is I believe? Stop focusing on just the behavior. So for me, I'll give an example. So for me, I've got a lot of cobwebs, right? So cobwebs can be from like social media addiction. Back in 2009, it was like artificial intimacy, whether that be pornography or relationships, to mask and to medicate the lie that I was believing. Those were the things that I was trying to fix, right? I was trying to put porn blockers on my phone or have accountability things. And all those things are great. And I think that they're part of the process, but they're just band-aids. They're just cleaning, you know, you're going to clean the cobweb and the spider's alive. It's going to come back and spin those cobwebs again sooner or later if you don't get to it. So the cobwebs are simple in my life, and they're going to look different for everybody, all of your listeners, the cobwebs, right? But the spider, the agreement with the lie that I had made, I finally got to the root, and I'd made an agreement that God had abandoned me. And if God had abandoned me, then what good is there to even follow the rules? Like if there's no God, if God doesn't even care about me, then why in the world would I even try? And so I had to break that lie. I had to reach across the table where my hand was shaking with the enemy and break that lie. Once I broke that lie, then guess what? The behaviors went away. And for everybody that's listening, your lie could be different. There could be a lie that you're ugly. There could be a lie that nobody loves you. There's tons and tons of lies. But once you break that lie, okay, then you find a freedom. Now, how do we break the lie? Okay, I'll go ahead and ask myself the question. And it's just going to take 30 seconds to explain, right? So the killing the spider part is actually the simplest part. Finding the spider is a lot harder, because that's where you're going to have to, you know, ask Holy Spirit to reveal. But to kill the spider, scripture tells us very easily, this is how you break an agreement with the enemy. You confess the lie, you say it out loud, you reject the lie, you send it to the foot of the cross, and then you replace the lie with God's truth. That last part is so important. You find the lie, corner it, you confess it, you say it out loud, you reject it, you send it to the foot of the cross, and then you go into the scripture and you find truths that absolutely annihilate the lie that you believe. And once you get those truths inside, at that point, you found freedom.
Come on, maybe you're listening today and you've identified a spider as Carlos is talking. If you feel so free, would you text it in? I won't name you names, but it'd just be nice to know, what is God doing in your heart right now? Super amazing, important conversation with Carlos Whitaker. We'll be back in a minute.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone.
Everything I need, you've got. You know, that is a true statement from Scripture. Everything we need is found in Jesus, yet so few believers really, truly believe that. It's why we dabble in things and delve into things that are like cracked cisterns that don't satisfy. We're so surprised when they fail us. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Carlos Whitaker today about his amazing book, Kill the Spider. getting rid of what's really holding you back. And before the break, Carlos, you were talking about how, you know, you were traveling at a high level with Hillsong and some other notable worship leaders. You're a worship leader, an author, and a speaker, you know, doing arena sessions and events. And yet there was something in you that felt like you needed to almost self-sabotage your blessings. And you had one foot in and one foot out in the light and in the darkness. And when you boiled it down, I want to, if you just tuned in, this is a really key point to the book. The spider is an agreement you made with a lie. The cobweb is a medicating behavior that brings comfort to the lie. As Carlos says, the cobwebs are easy to discern. It's a spider, not always. And I think in your situation, the reason this feels important to circle back around, Carlos, is you were worshiping him in these events. You meant it. You loved him. I'm saying this to say, we, all of us, like, you know, I have an intimate walk with God. He's just the most important thing to me. And yet, when the chronic illness thing batters me enough, it does emerge disappointment, discouragement, and things towards God where I love him. My knees buckle if I sense his presence. And yet, there's still, it unearths agreements. And I just feel like that's super important because it's not like it was all black and white for you. You loved God. You loved your family. But these, I think the enemy loves to keep those spiders in the shadows. So you're only reacting to the cobwebs.
Yeah. You know, I think, Susie, it's so important to for us to acknowledge exactly what you just said. Because I need everyone that's listening to understand this. Every single person listening to this right now, this isn't me being, you know, some like pop psychedelic, you know, current culture feel good guy. This is me telling you what scripture says. We all have spiders in our lives. Every single one of us, we all have them. And we all have cobwebs in our lives. And so we must be on this journey to eradicate them on a daily basis, because even those of us who love the Lord with every single cell in our body are still human in a fallen world. And since we're human, that means we are susceptible to lies. You know, I think about when you said that, I think about my wife. She is the hero of the Kill the Spider story, right? She's the one that said, you know what? I'm going to trust you again. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to do these things. And so my wife is literally, if she could be a patron saint while she's alive, she would be a saint. She is Saint Heather to me. She is amazing. And I remember writing the book thinking to myself, well, babe, you don't need to read this book, because this book is for like messed up, you know, messed up sinners like me. And she just laughed. And she's like, you think that I don't have spiders? You think that I don't have cobwebs? And this is what she told me. And I think this is important for your listeners to get, so that they can understand that it's not just the ugly cobwebs, right? Like, we know the ugly cobwebs. The ugly cobwebs are pornography, drug addiction, alcohol, some things that you've seen really destroy people's lives. But what about some of the prettier cobwebs? And my wife actually said, you know, one of my cobwebs, and she said, are the parties that I throw. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? Because my wife is an incredible chef. She's an incredible, you know, our like, she decorates our house so beautifully. It looks like Pinterest has vomited all over the walls. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen, right?
She's got the gift of hospitality too, right?
She's got that gift, right? She's got the gift of hospitality. She's like, she's so good. But I'll never forget when she said, Carlos, like, if I'm not careful, the gift that God gave me of hospitality can quickly turn into a cobweb, a medicating behavior of throwing parties, because I can agree with the lie. Now, here's her spider. If she says that her cobweb is throwing parties, which again, it's like, how could that be a cobweb? How can that be a medicating behavior? Her spider that she told me was, and she shares this with people, and she lets me share this. She said that, I fear that if I do not throw these parties, then I will not be loved. If I don't invite the people over to eat, then they won't call me. If I don't do, so what she did was she made an agreement with a lie that she must do to be loved. And that was her spider that she had to kill. Her cobweb was throwing the parties. Now, is throwing the parties always bad? Absolutely not. But even the things that God has gifted us in, even the skills and the gift sets that we have that we use to glorify God, can very quickly turn to medicating behaviors if we're not focused on the right thing. So I share that so people don't just think that, oh, well, this is a conversation for my cousin who's, you know, in prison, or, you know, who's addicted to this. No, like, we all have tiny little agreements with lies that we make every single day that we've got to make sure every day that we're confessing them, rejecting them, and replacing them.
Amen, amen. And I would say that's more often true than not. I mean, you can take work or working out. I mean, you can take you know, your status in ministry or in the marketplace, and it can be a gift, and God's entrusted it to you. And we have such air amnesia. We're so quick to forget who we are and who God is that it's just we get to that place. This dear listener says, can we have more than one spider? Now, I'm going to let you answer, but I'm just going to throw it in there. I would imagine absolutely. But what do you say, Carlos?
Yep, you're imagining correctly. We can have more than one spider. Now, I will say this. Again, a spider is an agreement you've made with a lie. So guess what? That means that this morning, if you got in an argument with your spouse and you made an agreement with a lie that your spouse doesn't care about you, that is a spider that was birthed today. Okay, so spiders can be birthed every single day. And all you've got to do is you need to go find them. And you need to eradicate that spider. You need to confess that lie, reject it, and replace that lie with God's truth. Replace the lie with the truth that they actually do love you. And those are things that can happen quickly. But I will say this. We can have many little spiders in our lives. But we normally, if you're looking for that one, if you just got that one habit that you can't kick, if you got that one thing, there normally is one larger spider that you have hung on to for a long time. And most people do find that freedom. And when they break that agreement with that lie, and again, 9 times out of 10, this isn't every single time, but a lot of times those agreements happen to us 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where something traumatic happened in our lives, where the enemy snuck in and allowed you to make an agreement. And so when you break that agreement, when you find that big hairy spider, it's a lot easier to kill the smaller ones. And so yes, I've killed my spider in the book, Kill the Spider. I kill it. But guess what? Like I have to, I mean, here's a simple example. I spoke at a conference last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where the speaker before me had like 10 million followers on Facebook, had sold like 15 best-selling books. And I remember right before I walked on stage feeling like, and I made an agreement with a lie, oh, you know what? Nobody's going to care what I have to say. This person, they're just a lot wiser. They're a lot slicker with their language. They're smoother than me. And guess what I did? In that moment, I made an agreement with a lie. So what did I do? I walked into the bathroom, I opened up the Word of God, I looked in the mirror, and I read that I am a son of Christ, and come that on. I am worth everything, and that these people will hear the voice of God thundering through me. I said it out loud, I looked in my eyes, and I walked downstage, and I killed it. And why did I kill it? Because I was able to kill my spider right before I went up there. So yes, we've got big spiders, we've got little spiders, but we can kill them on a daily basis.
That is so good. I'm going to ask you about that, throw this out there. I wonder if the cobwebs are always medicating behaviors. I mean, could it be the cobweb is settling into discouragement or unbelief? And I'll just give you an example. Again, being really raw here, but you're so wonderfully honest in the book as well. But sleep has been a chronic issue for me really severely. And it's really makes things hard. It causes these inflammatory reactions. And so a lot of times I'm showing up to work here with 3 hours, you know, under my belt, and I need more than that. But I realize as I'm listening to you talk, that I think the spider in this, because some of the worst traumatic surges of neurological symptoms happen in the middle of the night. I think the spider might be God won't intervene, you know, and my body won't cooperate and God won't do anything about it. And it's like, but I'm not like medicating. Believe me, I've been tempted, you know, if there was whiskey in the house. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I'm just like, you get so desperate. But I think I think I've settled into a place of unbelief around the sleep thing because I've tried everything. And then just talk to me about that, because is it always like an overtly,
so good.
You know, sinful behavior?
Yes, that's so good. No, because remember that this is a medicating behavior. This is, and you know, Susie, when you say that, you know, you're right. It's not like you have fallen into sinful behavior that can medicate, right? It's like right away, I can think of people that lack sleep and they immediately can go to drugs. They can go to alcohol. They can like, oh, you know what? I will just drink myself to sleep. Then I promise I'm going to go to sleep, right? And so those are the easy things to see. But what I hear you saying, and if we can be vulnerable for a second, is the settling into to maybe just every once in a while believing, oh, you know what? Maybe God isn't going to fix this for me. Now, what that shows is that is a tiny, itty bitty little cobweb. It is. And so that's still, the settling in is still a behavior. The settling is still you behaving. That is something that you've chosen to do. You choose to settle in, which means if you chose it, then that's a behavior. And so that's still something that you can see, and you did it right now. Like your listeners need to hear how easy that was. You went for the spider, which is, I don't know if this is ever going to be healed. I don't know if God can heal me. There it is. That is an agreement with the lie. And the settling in is the behavior. And so it's like, wow, like the behavior is actually not as big of a problem as the lie is for you. And so sometimes it's like the spider's bigger. Sometimes the cobweb's bigger. But yeah, they come together. But if you can get to the spider and you're already there, like you've got it, right? Now you open up scripture and you're like, okay, my homework tonight is to find five scriptures that are promising to me that God will heal me. And boom, I'm going to recite those out loud, and I'm going to send the lie that I don't believe that God's going to come through. I send that to the foot of the cross where I don't have to deal with it anymore. Jesus, take that away from me right now, and I replace it with these truths. And boom, you've got it. This is perfect. This is why I wrote the book, because people like you, seeing them get it right away is what gives me breath.
That spider's going down, baby. So let's do it. You are helping so many people, and I love the way God made you, and I love that you went to the bathroom and killed that spider. We all need to be doing that. I mean, imagine if you would have stayed in agreement and gone up there. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. Right. So if you would have gone up there, the enemy would have found access to impact, and maybe you would have self-edited while you're giving the message. But thank you for being a warrior. Now, a number of people have just tuned in a little bit late and asked us to redefine the spider, but I also want you to reset on the steps of getting rid of the spider. So I'll read this quote. This is from Carlos. The spider is an agreement that you made with a lie. The cobweb is the medicating behavior that brings comfort to the lie. And as Carlos says, cobwebs are much easier to identify. The spider, though, is the thing that hides that you want to find and kill. And talk about, I think you had like a four-step process for killing that dumb thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So exactly, that's exactly it, right? And we all have spiders and we all have cobwebs, every single one of us. And how you kill it. Okay. The book is called Kill the Spider because that's a lot better name than Find the Spider, right? Because killing the spider only took one page to explain in the book. And that's the fun part. That's finding freedom. And how you kill the spider is you identify the spider, right? You locate the spider, you corner the spider, and you kill the spider. Those are like the four overarching steps. And within them, once you kill it, when it's time to kill it, what you do is you confess the lie. So you've got the lie. You found the spider. Okay, my lie is, say, for instance, we'll just take one for example, because someone may have been sexually abused as a child. Their lie is now that they are not worth intimacy in marriage. So I'm just giving an example here. I confess that I believe that I am not worth intimacy in marriage. I confess that lie. I reject. Reject is the second step. I reject that lie by the blood of the cross and the power of the resurrection. I reject it and I send that lie to the foot of the cross to where I don't have to deal with the lie that I'm not worth intimacy anymore. I reject it. So you confess it, you reject it. And I replace that lie. And now is when you're going to go into scripture. You're going to go open up the book. I replace the lie with that. I am a beautiful child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am worth more love than any human being could ever give me. And so I replace it with that truth. So there's your steps. You confess the lie, you reject the lie, and you replace the lie with God's truth.
Come on. Amen. When we come back, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to talk about, I think this was years later, you were leading worship and you started to see black spots and you had a pretty terrifying experience.
Yeah.
And just how God has brought you on a healing journey. And again, what I love so much, Carlos, about your honesty is because none of us are ever done. When we see Jesus, we're going to be like him. We'll see him face to face. But in the meantime, we got to get used to messy and I think get comfortable with it so that we can walk this thing out together. Carlos Whitaker's my guest. His book, Kill the Spider, Getting Rid of What's Really Holding You Back. I know this is resonating by seeing all the texts that have come in. We've got six copies to give away today. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions, send those in a separate text, and we'll be back in a minute. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I know you're gonna see me do it. If anybody can, you can do it. God is faithful. He's on his throne and he has no rival. So if you're in a battle, you're feeling kind of battered by the enemy, take heart, my friend. Jesus has overcome the world. And if Christ is in you, your hope of glory, you're going to overcome too. I'm talking to Carlos Whitaker. Fantastic conversation. So if you tuned in late, once the live show is over, it'll go to podcast. You got to catch it. And would you not believe this, that the podcast now is being listened to in almost 100 countries? So it's, you've made the show a missionary show by supporting it and praying us through. We so appreciate that. We're talking about killing the spider. Just again, if you've tuned in late, the spider is an agreement you made with the enemy, with a lie. The cobweb is the medicated behavior that brings comfort to the lie. And this listener says, what else can spiders be besides the enemy? What do you say, Carlos?
Gosh, what? Say, ask me that one more time.
What else can the spiders be? Like, can they be anything besides the enemy?
Oh, yeah. No. A spider is strictly, at least in the way that I define it, a spider is an agreement with a lie with the enemy. Now, any lie is going to be the enemy.
That's
because
God
cannot lie.
Right?
That's his native tongue, right? And so, if you're hearing a lie, that is coming from the enemy. Now, listen, it doesn't have to be like this dream with the devil that shows up in your brain where it's like, oh, that was definitely the enemy. It can come from your best friend who has loved you your entire life, that loves the Lord with everything. There's been agreements with lies that I've heard that the person delivering the lie wasn't necessarily meaning to be a voice of the, but I have let the enemy sneak in through words that I've heard from even well-meaning individuals.
Yeah,
so a lie is always going to be from the enemy.
Yeah, very, very good. All right, if you don't mind sharing, and I don't know how many years later after the reconciliation of your marriage and all this happened, but, you know, I mean, to tell you the truth, I was reading your story and I almost missed my go time with you today because I was so wrapped up in your storytelling. I'm like, I don't think in 16 years I've ever missed my go time. Like, oh my word.
Oh, no.
So that should say something about your storytelling ability.
Oh,
but
thank you.
You are on stage, you're leading worship, and suddenly you weren't feeling so well. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, I was on stage again, doing the thing that God had created me to do, leading worship. And, you know, a lot of my people that follow me these days may not even know that I was a worship leader before I was a speaker and an author, but it's what I did. It's what I felt called to do. And I was leading worship at Sandals Church and was on stage. And I'll never forget, everything kind of started going black and my heart started pounding and palpitating. And I just feared for my life in that moment. And I thought I was having a heart attack and my chest was getting tight. And so I stumbled off stage and one of the pastors came up to the microphone and said, is there a doctor here? Something's going on with Carlos. And a doctor came back there and checked all the things that he needed to check. And I'll just never forget, he looked me square in the eyes and said, Carlos, you're not having a heart attack. You're having a panic attack. And that was the beginning of my journey with anxiety and depression. They're cousins. They often go hand in hand, or one will replace the other. And again, I remember thinking to myself, God, like, what have I done to deserve this? I'm serving you. I'm following you. Yet here I am broken. Here I am. I can't even get on stage anymore. I tried to get up back on stage, I'd have another panic attack. And I thought that life was over as I knew it. And so began the hardest season of my life when I again, this was another season where I felt like I'd lost everything because of the anxiety. But again, this, again, Susie, is what we talk about. It's when I decided and I made an agreement with the lie that I will only ever get a little bit better. I will never find full healing. And that was the agreement with the lie that I made. And so guess what? Because I made that agreement for a long time, I got about 60% better. I was like, you know, I did the things I knew to do. I went on Paxil. I went on medicine. You know, this, I know some people don't believe in that, but it's one of the things that I did. I went to therapy. I changed my diet. I started praying. I started doing the things that the church told me to do. And I got about 60% better. But here's where my spider was birthed with my anxiety. I started to say things like, you know what? Like, God's given me enough strength to deal with my anxiety. Now, let me tell you why that was a lie, because that's only part true. Like, sure, it was true that God's given me enough strength, but that wasn't the whole truth. So if it's not the whole truth, it's a lie. So what's the whole truth? Well, the whole truth is this, and I didn't want to say it because I was scared it wouldn't be true. But the whole truth is, God actually wants to heal me completely of my anxiety. And once I broke the agreement that I'm only going to get 60% better, and I started chasing after full and complete healing, I am sitting here in front of this microphone talking with my friend Susie, completely and totally healed of all anxiety, all depression, all panic attacks. They've not been here in 7 years. And it's because I broke the agreement with the lie.
Wow. And I so appreciate you telling that story because it's not a once and done. We want things to be once and done, but we live not only in a fallen world. You know, we have the promise of God of our lives as believers, but we definitely have a target on our back, and the enemy's constantly looking for inroads, isn't he? Constantly looking for opportunities.
Oh, he's looking, he's looking for, you know, throughout your day when you get tired, and again, his main language is he's a liar. So he's going to whisper all day long to you. And if you just open up I tell people, just read the Gospel of Luke. If you read the Gospel of Luke once a month, you're going to be fired up with the truth of the gospel inside of you that is going to defeat any lie the enemy has.
You know, one of my favorite things that you said about your wife, Heather, is that she believes everything is figure outable. I'm like, if that's not a word, that should be a word. I love that. Yeah. Everything is figure outable. But like, you know, it sounds like she had just a perspective to say there's an answer for every question. Somehow, some way, God's going to make a way.
Somehow, some way, God's going to make a way. And guess what? Like we live in a fallen world, and not all the time are things going to work out the way that we pray, but it's still God's heart and desire to see full healing happen. Guess what? If my father, the man who told the story, Kill the Spider story, he has dementia now. He doesn't even remember that story anymore. And it breaks my heart every time I hear him, but see him. But listen, I still pray. Still to this day for my father to find full and complete healing from his dementia. And I will pray that until the day he's no longer with us, because I still believe that it is possible. And we've got to be Christians that walk around believing in a miraculous God, because when we walk around like that, we walk around with the swagger that the enemy is going to be terrified of.
Come on. Amen. And on past shows, you talked about even your daughter and her miraculous healing. And I think that's just so important, because when you've come on, each time you come on, I feel like you keep setting the bar back up because we let it settle down. We live with certain things. And I feel like too, when you leave a lie or a spider unchallenged in your life, and you wrote this in so many words too, that we'll self-sabotage. So, you know, I think when passivity and apathy kind of stick in, because it's just they sneak in because it just feels too hard to find and kill that thing, your own choices will be self-sabotaging, won't they?
Absolutely. I mean, they will. You will choose. You will choose to only go halfway. You will choose to start living only half a life. In John 10:10, you know, again, it says, "A thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." It doesn't say have it to the half. So why in the world are we making agreements that, you know what, like I'll get a little bit better? No, that's not what John 10:10 says. It says that we can get all the way better. So just chase after that.
I needed that so much. I appreciate that. Just one more question. Maybe if I have time for two more questions, how often, and this is just, I don't know, you can just make your best guess, but how often do you suppose we as Christians walk around with misplaced sense of identity, even seasoned Christians? And I'm thinking one of two ways, either a false security in what we do or a false insecurity because of what we don't do.
Oh my gosh. I would say, well, I can just take my own life for example. I love the Lord with everything inside of me. I study scripture every single day. I pray every single morning. And it is a daily thing for me where I have to get realigned. Like I spend about 10 minutes every single morning consecrating my day, because if I don't consecrate, which basically means just offering my day, every part of my day, every action that I have to the Lord, if I don't consecrate it, then I'm going to be susceptible to all these lies, right? I'm going to be susceptible to all these agreements. And so, especially when it comes to identity has become such a major issue and problem in evangelical America, because I believe we've got way too many eyes on the way think people are doing things. We have way too much access, I believe, to seeing how other ministries are done, seeing how other Christians do things, that we start comparing ourselves to other people. When the Lord is like, listen, I don't want another blankety blank or whoever it is. I want fill in the blank, whatever. I want you. Like, I created you to be you. I already have one of them. So let your identity be placed in me as opposed to your identity be placed in somebody that you want to be like. So let's stop trying to, and I have to do it every day. I have to stop trying to be like that Christian and just continue to be like Christ. And when that happens, then I think everything, as my wife says, is figureoutable.
Come on. Just got a text and it says, please come back, Carlos. Thank you, Susie. And thank you, Carlos. This has been fantastic. Please come back again. Angie will reach out to you, Carlos, if it works. We always have more to talk about. God bless you, dear brother. We appreciate you.
Love you, friend.
Love you too. Carlos Whitaker is my guest. His great book is Kill the Spider. We're going to leave that drawing open for a little bit. I've got 6 copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If there's one takeaway, ask God to help you discern that spider, corner it, kill it, reject it, renounce it, and replace it with the truth. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.